This is the power of compounding. You must get started today. You say, how do I do that, Tony? Here's how. Decide today a percentage of what you earn that you're going to save. You go, yeah, but I spend everything I've got and all my bills. Make your bills wait. Pay yourself first. Remember we said you got to give time to yourself first? You got to invest in yourself first above everything else, so you'll always be running to pay bill collectors. And I'll tell you the secret to how to do this. Don't ever see the money. What do you mean, don't ever see the money? I mean, go to Charles Schwab, go to your bank, and say, I want you to deduct 10% of my paycheck before I ever see it and put it in a money market account. A money market account, if you're not familiar with it, is very simple. It's like a savings account, but it gives you more flexibility and a little better return. And anyone can advise you on it, but it's very simple. And you put it there for holding purposes while you decide where to invest your money. But you don't ever see it. If it's in your bank account, you will spend it. If it's in your investment account and it can't be used for anything else, you won't spend it. Does that make sense? You can do that today. They have these automatic withdrawal processes. They're available to all kinds of companies. Do it today. Now, you might say, okay, I understand the emotion of this. I got to start by really mastering this. I understand a little bit about how you've changed and other people have changed. I understand this compounding. I mean, this is pretty simple. I've heard of it, but I'm getting associated to its value and I'm willing to use it. And let's say I've set aside 10%. I've set aside for my year $1,000 or $10,000 or $100,000, whatever it is. Where do I put it? Ooh, that is the million-dollar question. And I'm not talking Regis Philbin here. I'm talking the real question. How do you really make $1 million? You want to be a millionaire? Answer this question. Where do you put the money? Well, first of all, you have to understand what the best investment you can make is. Hey, let's go back to the seminar just so you can be with the people.
Stocks are the fastest way, traditionally, for someone to be able to grow their critical mass. They also provide a great deal of flexibility. Why? If you want to get out of a piece of real estate, how fast can you do that? Who knows? If you want to get out of a stock, if you made a mistake, and you do need to get out of a stock, can you? Yes or no? Absolutely. Give you an idea, since World War II, the finest investment you can make through time has been what then? Stocks. They've delivered nearly a 12% rate of compound return for nearly 50 years. Is that a pretty good track record? Half a century? What has happened in the last half century? Recessions, wars, famines. I mean, you name it. The world has changed more in the last 50 years than probably any time in human history. So it gives you an idea of all the value structure. So I'll give you an example here. Rip Van Winkle and the Wall Street Wizard. If at the end of 1927, a modern Rip Van Winkle had gone to sleep for 60 years, on $20,000 worth of corporate bonds, paying 5% compounded, which is what they've averaged, he would have awakened with $373,584, enough for him to afford a nice condo, a Volvo, and a haircut. Whereas if he'd invested in stocks, which returned 9.8% per year during that time, he'd have $5,459,720. Since Rip was asleep, neither the crash of 29 nor the ripple of 87 would have scared him out of the market. Now, by the way, how much money did people lose in 1987 in a stock market crash in the United States? How much did they lose? Nothing unless they what?
Sold.
So those people who got seduced in here went, oh my God, the sky is falling, sold down here. And by the way, did the market return? How quickly? Staggering. Less than a year, all of a sudden it's exploded back up, and where is it now? So if you didn't sell, you didn't lose anything. In fact, more people made money on that day than any day in decades. My friend, I told you, made $500 million that day. Because while everybody else was freaking out, he was looking at companies going, they're worth so much more than what they're selling for. Yes. Instantaneously. So give me an example. So let me show you why companies are growing companies are one of the most unbelievable investments you can imagine. Walmart. In 1974, Walmart had 78 stores. Kmart had 1,326 and Sears had 851. The combined equity market value of Sears and Kmart was 65 times that of Walmart. Now, before you look at the next thing, I want to give you a little clue. All of the analysts at that time who were evaluating looked at the resources that Sam Walton had and his current growth rate based on what he'd done, and they said the guy's maxed out. What they didn't look at was his ultimate resource, which is Sam Walton's ability to innovate and model. He spent 2 days a week going to other people's stores modeling what other people did. He had no shyness about anything they did that worked, they went and did. They did not evaluate his ability to motivate his employees to give their all and create a relationship with customers that had never been seen in that environment at that price point before. And as a result, Walton has done something, Walmart, that's just staggering. Give you a perspective. In 1989, the market value of Walmart was $24 billion, three times Kmart and two times Sears. By 1996, the market value of Walmart was $51 billion. A $100 investment in Walmart in 1974, never adding another dime, was worth $23,000 by the end of 1989. And by now, it's worth $42,000. $100 worth $42,000, never adding another penny. Is that staggering? Okay? So this is not $100 a month. That was a one-time $100 investment. If you did $100 a month, can you imagine what the compounding of that would have been? Beyond your imagination. Here's another one, Disney. The market value of Disney in 1984 was $2.1 billion. Today it's $43.6 billion. That's actually old. It's changed since they bought Cap Cities. But a $100 investment in 1974 is worth $6,000 today. $100 a month, you look to the right there, invested every quarter in 1974 would be worth $437,000 today. Just to give you a perspective. And then Subaru, if you would have bought in the early days of Subaru, if you would have bought stock, rather, it sold for $2. It then went up to $167, 33 bagger. Thus, if you bought a $6,000 worth of stock in Subaru starting 1967, hung on to it, and sold it at its peak, your $6,000 would have left you with $1 million instead of a rusty old car. Same price as the car. If you bought the stock, you'd be a millionaire. How many fall? This is the place you want to have a significant amount of your assets.
Now, I've made a big point here to talk about how stocks overall through time have been the best investment to make. But obviously, your individual decisions are going to shape that. And if you know so much more about real estate or your own business or any aspect of investing, then that's obviously where you're going to want to spend a good deal of your time. Whatever you invest in, you've got to understand it. And of course, there are many choices. And I'll tell you something else. Often people say, well, that's true when stocks are going up, but what about when the economy goes down? What happens when we go in a bear market? Well, the truth of the matter is you can make money in any market. And if things are going down, more people became wealthy during the American Depression than any time in U.S. history. I can tell you, for example, in the recession we had many years ago here in the United States, I remember a lot of people were freaking out. But if you've managed yourself well, a recession is a great place. I remember one of my sons was very concerned because he thought, oh my gosh, you know, there's been this big boom in stocks and it looks like it's over and I'll never really be able to participate in a victory again. I'll never have that big victory, that big achievement. But the truth of the matter is he was looking at the high prices of homes at that time in various parts of the country and the high price of automobiles. And I said, listen, let me tell you a story. You know, during the last recession, I remember I wanted to buy a car. It was an 850i BMW. I remember it would just come out, and the sticker price on it, I think, was around $80,000 or $90,000. But the price to get one in California when they first came out, there was such a waiting list that it was $110,000. People were buying the cars and then reselling them and marking them up. And I thought, this is insane. I'm not going to spend this kind of money for a car. Literally, less than 60 days after these cars were so hot and everybody wanted them, the recession came. All of a sudden, the economy tightened for the short term. And those same cars were just sitting in the lot. No one was buying them. I eventually got that car for just above $40,000. Now, this is 2 months later. So when you start looking around thinking, you know, real estate in the northeast of the United States, it's exploding, exploding, exploding. It'll never go down. Trust me, there are always adjustments. And you can win no matter what. If you got a lot of cash during that time because you've handled your finances properly, you can do extremely well in your lifestyle. So yes, take advantage of whatever the economy offers you. Don't operate out of fear that you can only do well in a great economy. A great economy is one you're prepared for. All right, let's recap. What have we learned? Financial abundance comes from an abundant psychology. You've got to be willing to take risks. You've got to put yourself on the line, but they don't have to be huge risks. You don't have to be an entrepreneur to be wealthy, but you do need to become an investor. If you become an investor, you can become wealthy beyond anything you could earn in your job. Because there's only so much you can earn by yourself, but compounding is unmatched in its power, and we've learned the power of compounding. We've learned that of all the investments we can make, the one investment that traditionally has brought back the greatest return is the investment in companies that are growing, that are expanding. And so we understand that the stock market has been one of those primary investments, not the only one. So we know we've got to take 10% of what we earn and invest it. The question is, okay, let's say I've committed to this, and I got Charles Schwab or somebody to deduct 10% of my money. Where do I put it? Well, let me just tell you this. You're going to screw up. You're going to put it in the wrong places. You're going to invest in companies that are going high flyers, and they're going to be cut in half overnight. It's going to happen. you're going to buy a piece of real estate, and then the market's going to crash. This is going to occur. I don't care how good you are. The greatest investors in the world screw up.